It's always good to go back to what works. To go back to something reliable. And that's one nice thing about this church. We always, always go back to the Word. And we're going to go way, way back in the Word today. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1. And also to the book of Isaiah chapter 45. And Genesis chapter 1 begins, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." The Spirit of God moved upon the face of this congregation tonight. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." And then if you would turn over to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18 reads, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Pastor, would you mind praying tonight?
Lord, we thank you, God, for what we're feeling in this place. Visit us. God, that you have the Word of God allowed to be fresh in our hearts and our minds. Touch it as we can, make it alive. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And please, you may be seated. It was a week or so ago, I guess it was last Saturday. And we were at morning prayer, and God gave me one word. And I don't know how God speaks to you, but he gave me this word, and this thought kept going over and over and over again, and I mentioned it to Pastor and others. And that word was chaos. And that word chaos, even though we didn't read that exact word, we read it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the Bible says that the earth was without form. That means a place of confusion or a place of chaos. And chaos was the order of the day. And then, from that place of chaos, two things happened. One, the Spirit of God moved. And two, the spoken Word of God was there. And from there, that chaos began to take a divine order. When we fast forward to Isaiah, what we read in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18... that same word for chaos or a place of chaos is found where God says, he hath established it, the earth. He created it not in vain. And that word in vain is the same without form or chaos or a place of chaos. So he didn't create it so that it would remain in a state of chaos, but he created it so that it would be inhabited. Now it's interesting that, and this isn't about evolution, but you have to touch on evolution when you hit Genesis, I think. There was a textbook that I had in my hands some time ago, and it was from, I think, the late 1890s. And it was from a public school science book. And in the beginning of the book, it had a single page devoted to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It used to be taught in the public schools. But the science of the day changed that. And what's interesting to me is, the science of the day, and I'll use that in quotes because it's science falsely so-called, and true science begin with the same set of circumstances. The science of the day says there was this form, or without form and void, and then there was a big bang, and then somehow divine, or I shouldn't say divine, somehow order took place to our ordered universe. The creationists, and those of us, we all do, we believe in God, and we believe the book of Genesis, we believe the creation account. God created this earth without form and void, and then his Spirit and his Word began to create the divine order. So it's interesting to me that we start with the same set of facts, and then we just have a different conclusion that we'll draw. Now, from this place of chaos, when God said, let there be light, the light didn't argue. Okay, there's light. And light and darkness are, of course, diametrically opposed. When the light turns on, the darkness is gone. If there's darkness, then there is no light. It's two opposites. So when God's word began to speak, after his spirit moved, there was light, there was the firmament, there was dry land, there was seas, there was plants, there was planets and galaxies, the sun, animals, ultimately humans, and everywhere we look, the earth teems with life because we took a place of chaos and we added God's spirit and then we added God's word, and all of a sudden we have divine order. Now, Pastor mentioned this already. If the Spirit of God touched you, you're changed. This always happens. It's always true, and it's consistent with the Genesis account. Amen. Chaos seems to be the theme of the day. Isaiah chapter 5 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." There seems to be confusion over the simple difference between right and wrong. And I was talking to someone earlier, and we were talking, when we were kids, there were things that are called right today that would never have even been imagined to be called right today. And that wasn't even that long ago. And so it seems to be chaos because we don't know the difference between right and wrong unless we get grounded in what the Word of God says. We understand what chaos means if we look around us. I'm a bit of a news junkie, and I try to stay away from it, but it seems like it draws me back in. I don't know why. I feel better when I put the news down. But we also know what the Bible says about the end times, that perilous times shall come, that people would be without natural affection. We have a little pond in our subdivision, and there's this mother goose that came in and built a little 2.5 square foot enclosure, and there she remains. And I haven't looked that closely. I'm afraid to get nearer. Some other people went close, and she began to hiss, and I don't want any of that. But I believe that there's natural affection there, that mom is just protecting her young. And in people, sometimes we see that this scripture is fulfilled without natural affection. It tells us that there would be those that would despise good. Now, this is nothing new, but it seems so prevalent today. In fact, when Stephen was martyred and they stoned him to death, the Bible says they gnashed at him with their teeth. Oh, I hate this guy. All he did was good. He didn't do anything bad to anyone. And that's what's happening today. And it seems to be chaos. The Bible teaches us that there would be a form of godliness, but a denial of the power thereof. And the Bible warns us of thus, or from such turn away. We understand that there's wars and rumors of wars. There's terror attacks all the time. This is new. I don't remember that when I was younger. And in fact, I asked our Sunday school class, what is your response? We just had this this bombing at the Disney concert. I can't remember her name. Yes, thank you. And there was some shock, some surprise. And to be honest, it seems like the reaction of the day is, it just seems to be the new normal. And so there's chaos all around us, and this doesn't even speak of our own chaotic circumstances on a personal level. But as we read in Genesis, all we need from chaos to divine order are those two key ingredients, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And God can begin to change things. We'll pick up a New Testament account. And it's when Paul and Silas are imprisoned in Acts chapter 16. And they were imprisoned not because of some felony they committed. It wasn't a hate crime. But there was a young lady who was possessed with a spirit of divination, and she was a soothsayer, a fortune teller, and her handlers or her agents made a lot of money off of this. And she followed around Paul and Silas, and Paul eventually he had enough of this, and he rebuked the spirit, and the spirit came out of her. Now we've got a problem, because now you've cost me a way to make a few extra dollars for me. So they accused Paul and Silas of troubling the city. They had them beaten and thrown in prison. And we'll pick this account up in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Now, I'm picturing this supernatural event. Okay, an earthquake, the timing definitely says that it's divine intervention, but an earthquake is a normal thing. And the foundations would be shaken if it's an earthquake. But that last sentence in there that talks about everyone's bands were loosed, I'm imagining they're in iron stocks, perhaps around their wrists, perhaps around their ankles. They probably were forged or riveted together. And this earthquake might be able to shake things, but it definitely takes divine intervention for their bands to be loosed. And it happened to every one of them. And so the jailer that was charged safely to keep them all of a sudden had an immediate chaotic event in his life. He knew that he was in big trouble. And in verse 27 it says, "And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled." This seems to be one possible reaction to a state of chaos. And we can learn from these biblical accounts. So here is a man in chaos, and the first thing he wants to do is say, "I have had enough. My hope is gone. I'm going to end it all right now." But in the very next verse, the word of God came to him. In verse 28, "But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.'" I wonder what relief came over him to see that, okay, because if one prisoner had escaped, you think he might be able to tell the magistrates, "Hey, there was an earthquake, and the earthquake shook off the bands." Uh-huh, sure they did. And so when he found everyone was there, he was okay. Hope had been restored. The chaos had become order as soon as the word of God came to this man. He immediately believed. He asked what needed to be done to be saved. And the Bible tells us that it wasn't long before he and his household believed and were baptized. And so here we find that one possible reaction to chaos is a reaction of desperation. And it took the word of God to change this chaotic incident into something of divine order. We know that it was divine order that this jailer was saved and his family. Chaos can also be in personal circumstances. We talked about it on the national or global scene, but we've all experienced stress from school, jobs, finances, sickness, bad news, loss, fear, regret, loneliness. And the Bible speaks of a falling away, which is a little frightening. And perhaps it speaks of a falling away because if we find ourselves in chaos, whether it's on a national scene or on a personal scene, one possible reaction is a reaction of desperation, and we want to just cash it all in. And really, we need to go all the way back to the beginning and look at what God did in creation, look at what God did to this jailer and other episodes in the Bible, and we can understand that when we have chaos in our own lives and in the lives of those around us, the Word of God can speak. It was a few years ago, we were up north visiting our parents. I don't believe my wife was there. I think it was just me and the boys. And we got some bad news about my mom's sister's husband. He'd be my uncle, I guess. And he had a massive heart attack. And there was stress. It was chaos. And we sort of all thought about it, and there was almost like a dark cloud that afternoon. And before we went to bed, the boys, myself, my mom, we just sat at the table and we said about a one-minute prayer. We sort of bound ourselves together and asked God to intervene on behalf of Uncle Mark. And Uncle Mark is alive and well to this day when the prognosis did not look good. And it was nothing but chaos plus the Spirit of God plus the Word of God. And all of a sudden, there's peace in a terrible situation. If we look at another biblical example of chaos, we'll go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. It says, "And the same day when the even was come, Jesus saith unto his disciples, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even and the wind and the sea obey him? They got a glimpse that day of what manner of man this was. But here we see they're in a chaotic event, and I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of being in a boat when a wave comes over the hull. It's a very frightening experience. I had that happen. We rented a small, probably a 12-foot boat, and we weren't on the sea. We were on the Mississippi River, and it wasn't that rough, but there was a barge that had gone through, and there's these large rolling waves. And I had two little boys in the boat and a nervous woman in the boat. Sorry. And one of the waves came over the front of the boat and swamped us. And there was great fear, and it was a chaotic event. And I do not compare that to what the disciples went through. I'm sure that was much worse. They were on a much larger body of water. We could have gotten to shore, undoubtedly. But the reaction was in the middle of the chaos, and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And so here we have to caution ourselves when we find ourselves in chaotic circumstances. God, don't you care about me? Where are you? Well, I guess they knew where he was. But it's a natural reaction to be accusatory towards God. And we have to be very careful. Our instinct sometimes is to assign blame or to lash out at someone. And it's not always easy to take the Job approach. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Sometimes it's human nature to say, Master, don't you care about us? But the word of God came in a very simple statement. Three words, peace, be still. And I wonder how much peace there was, and I wonder how calm that water got. We've all seen water that just looks so clear. It was like a mirror. It just reflected perfectly. I wonder if it got that calm. But Jesus did something. He exposed their fear. He asked them, why are you so fearful and how is it that you have no faith? And we talked about light and darkness earlier. They're just opposites. It seems we find another opposite here, fear and faith. Sometimes we can be gripped with fear based on chaos and there's no faith. But then if we can put just a little bit of faith into the mix, then the fear has to go away. And in these types of situations, we can remind ourselves that though there be chaos, we still know who's God. Amen. We still know that the Spirit and the Word can take chaos and bring it to peace, because like we read in Isaiah, I didn't create the earth to be uninhabitable. I didn't make it to be a place of chaos. I made it to be a place that can be inhabited. I'm sure many of us have experienced chaos. And sometimes it can come to us in the middle of the night. We can sleep for about 3 hours and then we wake up and there's an occupation of our mind, of the chaos of the day. There's a few things that I've tried and they work well. One, I'll get out of bed, I'll go downstairs and I'll just walk and pray. And I find that during the course of time, the Spirit of God will move into that situation. And whatever chaos there is, there's a peace. Another thing that I've tried that also works is I keep a little light by my bedside and I keep a Bible by my bedside. And I'm sure many of you are the same. We'll go to the book of Psalms because we understand that David had chaos in his life. And he wrote some psalms that are very encouraging and comforting. And one that I like is in Psalms 37. It says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." The end is not chaos if we're perfect, if we'll obey the word of God. The end of that man is peace. Another verse in Psalm says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." If we want divine order from the Lord, he can order our steps if we just do what's right. And, oh, by the way, he delighteth in his way. It's the end of that verse. The word of God can put order to absolutely anything. If we have chaos, there is two ingredients that we can add to produce and define divine order. And that is, as we've stated, the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and then everything changes. It's good to be part of a church because there's personal testimonies in this church about restored relationships, lives that were saved, bodies that were healed, the impossible that becomes not only possible, but done. And generally, it starts with confusion, but then the Spirit of God moves in and draws us. And then God speaks his word, or pastor preaches a timely message, and we apply that word, and all of a sudden we see divine order out of the chaos that we had. My wife and I recently celebrated our 20-year anniversary. I bought her a nice lunch at Panera Bread. You're welcome, by the way. But I was reminded, I got her a nice card, and I wrote in this card, "There was a promise that God made for me on three separate occasions in the middle of chaos in my life." And the promise was straight out of the Word of God, and it said, "Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your sons will be like olive shoots around your table." And I stand here today, 20 years later, saying that out of that chaos, God spoke into my life, and the divine order fulfilled the promise, and now I have a wife and two sons. And I'm not sure what it means to be like olive shoots. If it means they're growing fast, then yes, that is fulfilled. Sometimes we get the worst of all advice in the middle of chaos. We all know what Job's wife told him. "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." And we hear the same things. "Why are you holding on to your integrity? Why don't you march in there and give that guy a piece of your mind?" This is horrible advice, by the way. And sometimes when we get that advice, it caters to the flesh. But we have to be careful when we're in the time of chaos not to follow this type of advice. Chaos can also cause us to compromise. There was a time in the Old Testament when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to get the law from God. And he was gone a long time. And the people began to question, "Where is this guy? He's been gone forever. We don't know where he's at." And so they came up, of course, with this plan. "Give me your gold rings and your gold earrings, etc. And we'll melt it down and we'll make a molten calf." And so they did. And then they declared, "These be thy gods that brought thee up out of Egypt." And so in the middle of this chaos, they hadn't heard from their pastor. They hadn't heard the word of God. All of a sudden, there's this compromise. And it's a scary thing when we don't hear from God, and we hear from God when we hear from our pastor. And as a result of not knowing where he was or not hearing from their pastor, they were turned away from God and succumbed to this compromise where they went back to something that they shouldn't have went back to. This chaos seems to be a tool that's used to tempt us not only away from God, but also to give things up that are godly principles. And so we all remember the horror and the tragedy that surrounded the nation in the events concerning 9/11. It was chaos. It was a time of chaos. We all remember these things. And one of the first things that we did as a country is we instituted this Department of Homeland Security. And none of us knew what the NSA was back then, but it seems we've given up some of our freedoms, some of our rights, because of the chaos. Fast forward a few years to the financial collapse in 2008, and we were all told this could be a global depression if we don't act fast. It was a state of chaos. So what did we do? We decided to borrow $1 trillion and to spend it. We had to do something. And so in the middle of this chaos, this isn't political. We perhaps did some things that we compromised that we wouldn't normally have done. Could you imagine running your household that way? Honey, I just lost my job, so I went on the way home and bought a brand new truck. That would be chaos. And so chaos use seems to be this tool of the enemy to cause us to compromise, cause us to be tempted, to lash out at God, to lash out at others, to accuse God of not caring. It can cause us to have this spirit of desperation. And when we have chaos, it's time to put divine order back in the chaos. The only way that this can be done, God didn't intend for us to live in a state of chaos. We know this way back from the creation account. Sometimes chaos is used as a tool to get people to draw near God. The other good thing that happened with 9/11 is the churches were filled. And there was a national conversation about God all of a sudden. And so it's time for us to put divine order into the chaos, whether it's in our lives, whether it's on a national or global scale. Because it's not God's intention that we should live in a state of hopelessness or despair, a state of chaos. He wants us to have His Spirit to touch us and to touch our lives and to touch those around us. I was in a hospital room when my grandmother was still alive, and she was going in for surgery, and she was over 90 at the time. And she and I had built a special relationship over the years. I went to visit her all the time. And I miss her. But before surgery, when I walked into the room, my aunt and uncle were there, and they were just sitting visiting, and her face lit up. "David, I'm so glad to see you." And then she confided in me. She said, "David, I'm afraid this is the end of me." And I could see the chaos, the confusion on her face. And I honestly didn't know what to do. So I went and I took her hand. I said, "Grandma, it's going to be okay. We're going to pray right now." And I prayed a prayer over her, and I could just see the peace of God come on her. And that was not the end of her. She came through that surgery all right. And we understand that God is not the author of confusion, but He's the author of peace. And so if we live in this confused state, there's two simple ingredients, and all we have to do is go back to the basics. We know what the Word says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's nothing fickle about God. He's fixed. When He put divine order in creation, we live in divine order. We know. I was not surprised that the sun rose this morning. And I'm not surprised that it's setting now. Because God put divine order into it. So our lives are governed by the rising of the sun and the going down of the sun. God made things that are stable. He made things like rocks that we can build with, and they're firm and they're not going to move. And many of our own personal testimonies begin with the fact that we were in a chaotic state of life, lacking direction, lacking order, but then we were touched by the Spirit of God and we obeyed the Word of God. For me, one such moment occurred when I was still in college. I was in a class and there was a discussion about religion, and I was so frustrated with it because I thought, there's got to be more. There has to be more than this. And so frustrated, I came home, and I've mentioned this in the past. I sat down with the Bible and I said, "I'm going to read this cover to cover and I'm going to figure out for myself what's going on here." What's funny to me is in my ignorance, I had no idea what I was doing, but it was the exact right thing to do because I was in a state of chaos, and I thought, okay, we're going to go to the Word of God, and if we can just get that, that's the best thing that we can do. Order can only come from God. We don't need to live in a place of chaos. We don't have to wait for circumstance to change. We can find the Spirit of God, and we can find the Word of God. Some people believe in just blind chance or luck. And I think of this example that I've read recently. If you took 40 quarters in a roll that the quarters belong into and crumpled it up and threw everything in the air, do you think it's possible that those quarters would find their way into that roll as it landed? It's not going to happen. But if there's divine order, then it will happen. And so, as Pastor said, there's this theme that's been going on that our God is without limits. He's not limited at all. The chaos that we may have or that others around us may have, that's no challenge for God. All we have to do is go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, and we will see the formula. Chaos existed in the beginning. Chaos exists all around us. Sometimes it exists temporarily in our own lives. It can cause desperation and despair. It can cause a falling away. It can cause us sometimes to accuse God or others of not caring. It can cause fear, which drives out faith, and it can cause sleepless nights, but chaos can be cured. Amen. All it takes is the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And I'm going to close with 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. And we find this all over the New Testament. And it's a simple greeting or a salutation from the writer of the book. And the second part of that verse says, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, it's interesting in those chapters that follow, the Word of God is there, and sometimes it's for our admonition and correction. But in the beginning of these books, and oftentimes at the end, grace, mercy, and peace, if we'll just follow the Word that's in between. Amen. Amen. Pastor, would you come?
Thank you, Brother Dorflinger. Outstanding message. You know, I'm in this first chapter, and you're in that first chapter, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God saw that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. When the Spirit of God moves on us, the first thing that happens is he's saying, come out of darkness, because now you're light. And he's with the light. I was thinking, as Brother Dorflinger was talking, I was thinking about the prophet Elijah, how, you know, he had this confrontation with the prophets of Baal, and he called down fire from heaven with a 64-word prayer, and it killed 450 prophets. And then in the beginning of that 19th chapter of 1 Kings, Jezebel makes a threat, saying, by tomorrow, you're going to be dead. And all of a sudden, after this great victory, fear came over him, and he ran and he hid himself in a cave. So many times, even though we've seen a great move of God, we have this chaotic thing that happens to us, a threat, and all of a sudden we go hide, and God comes and looks for us. He was in a still, quiet voice that he heard. And all of a sudden he realizes, hey, I'm not all by myself. There are 7,000 just like you. About 5 years ago, I was walking here on a early morning and praying and talking to God, and God told me to call someone, Reverend Bill Sisco, friend of mine. He remarried my wife and I at our 25th wedding anniversary. He dedicated our church building. And I called and I said, what's going on? He said, Brother Schumacher, I have been preaching against fear all over this world. And right now I'm afraid. I get up and I become dizzy. And I don't know what's going on with me, but it's almost paralyzed me. I'm so afraid. And I talked to him about Elijah. And I said, you cannot allow this chaotic event, this fear, to paralyze you, because God still has some great things for you to do. And I don't know where you are at tonight. I don't know what your situation is. If there's some fear, God wants to give you peace that passes all understanding. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, you praise God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your mind, your thoughts, and your heart, your feelings, and then start thinking on those things that are lovely and of good report. And all of a sudden, peace moves into your life. Hallelujah. This world's going to be chaotic, but not the church, because we got the Prince of Peace within us. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Brother Dorflinger. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You've heard the word of God. You've felt the Spirit of God. And now let God do what he does best. He's transforming. The altar's open. Would you come?